College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall. I'm Chris. And we're here to discuss what else? College football. We're going to talk it through a little bit. I just totally messed up my screen there for a second. Okay, there we go. That's more like it. Welcome back, though, to the show. We got a variety of things to talk about. Obviously, we're going to start with some light recap of some of these games. We're not going to go too deep in some of these blowouts. I mean, we talked about how Florida, it turns out Florida was actually, we're not even talking about defense, but they're actually missing their tight end and three wide receivers. So we kind of knew where some of these games were going to be, blowout central. We'll talk a little bit about Texas and the new coach, which kind of came as a surprise since they already announced that they were staying with the dude. I don't know, kind of strange. My Miami Hurricanes tried to make a comeback. They fell short. Obviously, Oklahoma smashed. But the biggest news here is, really, Ohio State and Clemson played in a national semifinal game. And Clemson, it was a really competitive game there for a second until it wasn't. And then Ohio State just unleashed the beast. They finally put it all together. You know, they got up 35-7 and all that, then came back, looked pretty mediocre, and was down for a little bit against Northwestern. They finally put it back, and now they are in the national title game against Alabama, who won cleanly 31-14 as well. We'll talk a little bit about that Cincinnati-Georgia game. The A&M North Carolina was a good game. Iowa State, you know, really showed how you finish a season. Even though they had a little heartbreak in the Big 12, they got a big win. And so we'll talk about a variety of stuff, of course. We got to talk about Ole Miss. Because even if they had lost, we were going to have to talk about them because we have a quota on the show. So we're going to talk about that. And then, of course, we'll break down, you know, Ohio State against Alabama, which is a pretty interesting game, especially if that Ohio State shows up. Then it's a very interesting game. We'll preview and predict that in just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. It streams live at archives, the whole nine. But, you know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Up Radio and download the show there or listen to the browser if you don't want to. You can find this College Ball Show under the Rope It Up Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, excuse me, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere, including Spotify. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have a seven-day free trial just for signing up. You get an HBO Max free trial for 7 days. There's no annual contract to, you know, cramp your style. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR, of course. And if you sign up, like I mentioned, the HBO Max free trial, well, just for signing up to the AT&T TV Now Max package, that includes HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month. That's AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable. Okay, we're going to go ahead and bring in the co-host here, Marshall. What's going on, Marshall? How the hell are you doing?
It's a good day. Back to teaching kids tomorrow. Had a nice little 2 week break, so that was peaceful. Now we got to suck it up and make our way to March Madness as teachers, so that's always a nice long stretch. But yeah, as we were talking before the show, even though it's college basketball, it seems like March Madness is a go, so that is very positive and reassuring to hear, because last year when all this COVID stuff happened, it cut off what was going to be an incredible March Madness. So hopefully the NCAA gets all their stuff together and has a March Madness this year. But
yeah, that was, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, besides that, you know, it was entertaining because I don't think people expected both the games to be blowouts, but I did not see the Ohio State game turn out the way it did. And I know we're going to get to that, but at least there was an unexpectedness to the second game of the night, because the Notre Dame Bama game was just a football game. And then we had a little more entertainment. So we talked about how the playoff committee picked the teams they did, and you know who ended up wearing all that stuff. And again, most people in America saw the Bama game going the way it did, even though Notre Dame covered. But at least the Ohio State game, Clemson game, Chris, gave us something to discuss. And I guess I'll kind of start off with that. I mean, this is a Clemson team who's played really, really good football for the past handful of years. And, damn, did they just get punched. Like, looking back, there's, I'm not sure the last time Clemson got destroyed like they did. It was just kind of, I honestly, when the game was over, I was like, okay, I'm kind of excited for the podcast, because again, we both expected Notre Dame to win. Or sorry, we both expected Bama to win. I was gonna say,
what the hell? Are you doing a different podcast that I don't know about?
Yeah, I got my side piece podcast. We both predicted, and that podcast is now over.
So, all I know is we got the crappy pick of the week copyrighted on this side, so you'll be hearing from my lawyers if anything changes.
I didn't do that. I didn't roll that over. So again, we'll get to that Bama Notre Dame game, but for the fun one of the main two, the signature of Urban Meyer, and again, I hate the guy, but he's one of the best football coaches in the country, and I think he'll probably end up again somewhere next year, is he always had a super, super good defensive line. And all that's like a small detailed thing, which doesn't get talked about much in football, unless you're like Aaron Donald for the Rams. But the defensive line was always kind of the stamp and signature of Meyer's Ohio State teams. And again, does the media cover it that much? No. But is that one of the reasons that he was consistently having badass football teams? Yes. And when you watch that football game, Trevor Lawrence, again, you could say he had a tough game or didn't look his best. Dude, he didn't have time to breathe. My biggest takeaway from the game, Chris, and I'll throw it back to you, was just the pure domination of Ohio State's D-line just owning Clemson. I think they're motivated. I know they'd lost last year. Dabo Swinney was saying they're the 11th best team in the country. Like, there was bulletin board material. You had motivation. You had trash talking. You had people saying, do you deserve to be in it? Like, everything was there to motivate Ohio State to play well. But just, I really thought we'd have a shootout. Like, I'm not surprised Ohio State played a hell of a game. I mean, to give Fields credit, he played himself a gem. But I really thought it was going to be a back and forth of, okay, Fields dropped a bomb, now it's time for Lawrence to go, you know, throw a rope and have a touchdown. And we only really had a shootout for like the first 10 minutes of the game. And again, to wrap up my opening story here, was just the Ohio State D-line said, F this, we're not losing. And again, I know there was a lot of pieces involved, and obviously Ohio State's offense played incredible. But the D-line, Trevor Lawrence never got into a rhythm. And again, that's probably the first time in, I would say, 3 to 4 years where Clemson's offense was massively shut down. And I mean, by the midway through the second quarter, if you were a Clemson fan, you had to be thinking, oh my God, we're probably going to take a miracle to come back and try to win this game.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, down 35-14 and then 42-21. Actually got to 49-21 before Clemson scored again. That was that had to have been pretty tough looking up, and I'm pretty sure it was. I think it was the third meeting with Alabama and Clemson in the semifinal when Clemson got beat like this. Not necessarily like this, but didn't they get kind of like beat cleanly by Bama in that third go round? It wasn't in the championship. Wasn't for the championship, but it was.
I think you're right.
I think it was the last time we've seen it like that anyway. Sure. You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. I mean, they may not have, oh boy, who's making plays in the NFL, you know, for Washington, the Washington football team, but, and they kind of seem like kind of stockier. I'm not going to say undersized dudes, but they have, I don't know, they do have kind of, they don't really have that long, lanky 6'7", 6'6", 285 guy, but they got the job done. You're right. They were in his face. I don't know about never gotten the rhythm 100%, but yes. I mean, they – because, you know, he did throw for 400 yards, and it wasn't all garbage. But he threw a pick, and he put the freaking ball on the ground twice, too, for one of them was a fumble. So, yes, the defensive ends, the secondary, everybody. You're right. They stood up, but as did clearly the you know, the run defense, too. You're right on the defensive. It's not just getting after the quarterback because, like I said, they had to throw 48 times, but they did get 400 yards and stuff like that. But once again, just this was the key to the Notre Dame game. Turnovers and slowing down the run. And, you know, NTN or whatever the hell his name is, I can never say it right, 10 carries, 32 yards. Lawrence, because they take off the running, they dock you when you get sacked, but 10 carries, negative 8, which is crazy. So overall, they only carried the ball 22 times, which is pretty low, for 44 yards. Talk about shutting stuff down. It was crazy. Like you said, it was 14-14, and then pretty much the game was over. And sure, after that touchdown, you could say 49-28. Okay, maybe they have a chance to, like you said, for a miracle, but it wasn't happening. And on the other side of it, Fields, I mean, wow, dude. And, I mean, this guy put dime after dime on the ground. Like, those deep – it was like a line drive, but high deep ball. And it kind of pains me that they didn't show the normal view again, because that normal view was like he just put that thing – 60 yards in the air, right on the money. Fields played a hell of a game. 22-28, added 42 yards rushing, by the way, for 385 in the air. 6 TDs, only 1 pick. And that pick, you know, that was a that was a tough one. That was one where it actually the guy tipped it. I was wondering, like, what the hell are you doing throwing over there? But it looked like he was throwing it away. But Fields played a phenomenal game. The running, I mean, obviously Sermon has just been on fire too. Let's not forget about him. 31 carries, buck 93, and overall 254. But shutting down the run, running the ball. I mean, they passed and ran, obviously. But shutting down the run and turnovers is what, you know, happened in that first Notre Dame game. But still, it wasn't like this. And I was afraid to pick Ohio State because I didn't. To be honest with you, and I think I said this too, I still didn't know where Fields was with this thumb. And you can never really know that stuff. It's tough to tell. So I'm not going to sit here and Monday morning quarterback and be like, I told you guys that, or I put a bunch of money on it, because I did. But the back against the wall was evident. I mean, they got up 35-7 on a pretty good club in Indiana with their starting quarterback too. And then, but they gave that lead up. You know, they started out really mediocre against Northwestern. Obviously, you could kind of see the thumb was bothering them even more in that game because they were still trying to figure it out or whatever. But man almighty, I mean, there was a lot of disrespect because of how many games they had played, and I understood that. But Ohio State said, are you sure we're not the fourth best team? And I think in the end, now that we see how it turned out, we have to say the committee got it right.
Yeah, and, you know, also football, there's that whole targeting penalty, and that really affected Clemson again. The middle linebacker, Scuggsy or Tugie, whatever the hell his name was, I don't care. He was the same linebacker for Clemson last year who got thrown out of the LSU game. And then at the same arena as last year, he got thrown out of the first half of the Ohio State game, too, for a hit that appeared to at least minorly bruise Fields' ribs. So, I mean, not only did Fields play a game where he was making some Russell Wilson deep-like passes, but you could tell, dude, he was hurt. Or if he, I mean, maybe not bruised or broken ribs, but that shot he took to his back, and you saw him grimacing on the sidelines. He's like, dude, you know, my team needs me. Screw this. I'm going to go and play. But that was a dumb penalty. And then so now you lose your linebacker for the rest of the game. and your star safety, who everyone loved to gloat about on ESPN, was out for the first half of the game because of a stupid targeting penalty in the last game. So, again, I'm not saying that Ohio State, I still think they would have won. But, Chris, think of the massive difference of if you have your star safety and your star middle linebacker in the game for the whole game. Like, and I know that nowadays targeting penalties are sometimes hard to adjust, and football players make football moves. But you know the rules nowadays. You got to be able to, you know, make a smart decision as fast as you're moving. I don't recall the one on the targeting penalty on the safety that led into this game. But that play on Fields, I mean, that dude, you literally just dropped your head and went right into his back. That was a stupid decision. Again, right. I know that sometimes you see targeting penalties on like a deep ball, like the wide receiver dips his head or something. Like, oh, you're sure. Like, oh, dude, that's a tough call. That one was
usually
just
it's
stupid.
The NFL where you're like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah. But that one was just, I'm just going to try to bruise this guy up. And it was a perfect call. And I thought that Herb Street made a good point as an announcer. And like, you know, targeting doesn't always have to be hitting a guy helmet to helmet, which 98% of the time it is. But that was a perfect call. And part of the reason why I think Fields had the day he did was because of the lack of stars. Now, again, I'm not making an excuse. That was a fucking A-plus performance. But, again, if you're Clemson and you were to play Ohio State again this week, if you had your two of your quarterbacks of your defense on the field, that game probably doesn't quite go the way it is, or Ohio State's offense does not look as electric as it is. But those targeting penalties for 2 years in a row now really came back to hurt Clemson. And again, it's a mistake that's tough, but Ohio State plays with the same rules, and that's just something where, dude, those are massive mistakes. It really cripples a defense just with losing a middle backer and a star safety.
Right, but that middle backer would have had to been the best blitzer ever. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
safety,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe you could make an argument, but they can go deep. Like, it kind of I don't know Clemson's if they do one safety a lot or not back, but you know you could still attack deep without touching the safety. So does it make a difference? Sure. But I guess we could also go back to next year or last year in the same game and talk about some ref calls that should have went Ohio State way. Or if the, you know, we go back to, well, Ohio State guy runs the right pattern. Clemson's not even the national championship last year. So, I mean, it does make a difference. But just like that LSU game, I don't know. Is that linebacker dude make that big of a difference? I mean, why didn't he make a big difference against Notre Dame then?
No one was beating LSU last year at all. I just think it's kind of funny or odd that you'd have back-to-back years where you get your star players get targeting penalties. That's tough. But those are penalties you can't afford to make if you're a team leader.
Right. And he was in the safety in him were in the game against Notre Dame earlier, and they gave up how many points? So I don't think Ohio State was getting beat regardless.
No, not at all. Yeah.
It was a dominant performance, and like I said, a lot of it had to do with you're sitting there telling these guys that they don't belong there, as if Ohio State's kind of bummy or something. But yet, we talked about this last week, how some of the wins we were given to Cincinnati was based off years prior success from the programs we're talking about, like Central Florida or whatever. So obviously. And then for Dabo, you know, that was just stupid and ignorant. He probably wouldn't have done that if he hadn't won championships, to sit there and vote him 11th. That was just stupid. And then he doubles down and says, yeah, I would have still put him there. Like, come on, dude. Like, it's cool to, like, be biased. We get it. But this blatant? Like, that was pretty bad.
Agreed.
But either – yeah, I mean, that was just stupid. But – as far as that Bama game goes, they got up on them 14-0 and 21-7 early. Maybe it would have helped if two things didn't go wrong after that. They missed a field goal that would have been 21-10, and then they threw a pick when they had a drive going, which still it was 21-7 at the time. Next thing you know, it's 28-7 after that interception, and they just rolled. They just beat them 31-14. overall, we kind of knew Bama, you know, was going to do their thing. Book actually played a decent game, considering he was another guy that was running for his life pretty much the whole game. Jones was just solid, steady, 25 of 30, almost 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, no picks. And Harris only had 15 carries for a 125, 8.3. They really didn't need to close the show. Smith got over 100, of course, and of course, 3 touchdowns. So a lot of their damage is through the air and on defense. But once again, you know, the Irish, I think they're probably going as far as they can. Unless there's some sort of, I don't know. I mean, I think they're a very quality program, but it's just hard to compete with all these other schools that that the students can get in. And this isn't just a shot at the SEC either, because there's plenty of other schools that are much easier to get into that are quality programs all across the country than getting into Notre Dame. It's not the hardest school to get into. Let's not put it there. But, you could say, oh, they got their pick of, like, the Creighton-Durham Halls, the private Catholic school. Sure. I mean, to an extent, that's the case. But, there's not much more. He's a quality coach. He was a quality coach at Cincinnati years ago. I think they're basically getting all they can. I mean, unless they have just a complete difference maker at maybe quarterback, where it's like a Wilson or I don't even know how many, like, I guess quarterback they could say they could get a guy that could run and have a huge arm. But Book was pretty damn good over his years. So I think this is just a ceiling here, you know?
Yeah, and they're just not going to be Bama. Like, I think there's this name and legend that goes to Notre Dame, and they're just not the team from 30 years ago. And like, they're good. Like, they're a B level team. And I mean, obviously, I know Brian Kelly is going to say stuff.
I'd say more like A-, B+. I don't think they're B level, because they recruit really well. I mean, all things considering.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, however you want. They're the 87 to 91 letter grade. And Bama, Clemson, Ohio State are like high 90s. So again, you can beat most teams in the country, but you're not at the level of winning a national title. And that's just something that, I don't know, I guess it would be frustrating as a fan. I could care less about Notre Dame. But the one issue I had overall with their approach was, and again, this is just my humble perspective from Texas as a guy who thinks he knows a lot about sports, but their game plan was just super conservative. Like, you really, truly believe that you could have just a very, like, basic vanilla, let's run the ball 3 to 4 yards a play, take the time on the field, and just, like, let's just try to work the way down the field against Bama and try to have, like, a gritty, old-school, blue-collar football win. I think that Brian Kelly had the approach of, I just don't want to get my ass kicked. Like, there was no, I mean, I just, if you're going into that game and you're the head coach of Notre Dame, you got to open up the playbook a little bit. Just the play calling throughout the whole game was just so nonchalant. And you're playing against a team who has one of the best offenses in the country or in the past 10 years. So I know that you kind of have to stick to your script of running the ball, but it was such just a, like, it literally, to me, it just felt like, hey, let's just not get rolled out the gym. And that's what he said after the press conference too, was, hey, we hung in there. Like, we're closing the gap between us and Bama. So I think he just took a conservative approach and was like, let's not let this go bad. So let's run the ball. Let's play slow. Let's try to make our score look respectable. I mean, they covered the spread, you know, people who back them in Vegas are happy, but I didn't feel like there was any gutsy, like, dude, we got to sling the ball. Like, this is a Bama defense who got lit up this year by Ole Miss and by Florida, and had some moments where even the first half against Georgia, like, this Ole Miss secondary was not, or excuse me, this Alabama secondary was not a lockdown, like, DBU type of school. And you just saw a vanilla play calling game where you got a late touchdown, almost got a second one to make the score look good, but that was never a football game. And I, Chris, it just blew my mind. And I was, my buddies in my group chat were kind of thinking the same thing of like, this is your game plan for trying to beat Bama? Well, no, I just think you want to just not get your ass kicked so the media won't give you shit. And of course, after the game, he says, well, hey, we're catching up. Like, no, dude. Okay, if that's your approach, cool. But if I'm a fan of Notre Dame, I'd be embarrassed by that. I'd rather try to go all out and have some new plays or try to do something other than have a conservative game plan and just have the score. Hey, we didn't look that bad. We only lost by, you know, 17. Like, hey, we're marching back up there. No, screw that shit, dude. I'd go out and try to win. But they never, to me, showed that overall. And that would piss the hell out of me if I was a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the embarrassment thing, but they did run. I mean, how they had to run successfully to get the pass.
Because I'm not denying that.
And they needed a play action because the wide receivers can't get open. They just don't have that many good wide receivers. And I remember we actually had that. You asked me who had the better wide receiver, North Carolina in Notre Dame, and I thought it was like a trick question, so I didn't. I was like, I don't know for a fact, but when I really thought about it, it was a pretty basic question. but you know, that Clemson game, they ran the ball 40 times for 208 yards and 3 touchdowns, so that opened up the pass. So I hear what you're saying. I don't know about the embarrassment part if you're a fan of, because to me that would be more of a fanboy. Not that you're a fanboy, but I'm saying that'd be more like a fan that doesn't know what they're actually watching to think that they were going to sit there and beat Alabama in general. But, you know, I could also see it's easy to say that on the outside because had my Gophers or the Vikings, you know, just to be someone that I'm more of a fan of, had they beaten some team, you know, like, shit, Notre Dame beat Clemson earlier this year. So I'd be like, what the hell? But they beat them that way. They beat them by stopping the run and running the ball. And I don't know. I hear what you're saying as far as aggressiveness. And so I think you're making some pretty good points there because the game wasn't completely out of hand until a little later. And they, you know, they did run the ball pretty heavy, especially with Book. They had some turnovers, obviously, but yeah, I don't know. I see your point, though. I do see your point. But I don't see them winning a shootout in that fashion without running the ball. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was a pretty basic game. Alabama kind of cooled off the Jets, 131-14. I kind of think they're peaking, to be honest with you, because I just don't think they have the wide receivers to get open. But anyway, we will get to that national championship in just maybe 15, 20 minutes tops or something like that. Maybe not even that long. But let's talk about the other game that had some importance as far as dealing with those Ohio State and Cincinnati. And we both agreed that Cincinnati shouldn't have been eighth. They should have been higher, whether that was fourth, fifth, or sixth, whether that was behind A&M. That is the one lost team now, all of a sudden, just because Cincinnati had this undefeated team, now the one lost team are bummy. Nobody cares about them, even though they played in a tougher conference. So it was kind of an interesting debate. I would have been in favor. I think both of us were in favor of having A&M above them, Cincinnati. But you know, obviously this was a significant game because it was a good matchup on paper, and it turned out to be kind of an ugly, grinded-out type game that Georgia needed a field goal to win at the end, 24-21. But it was a fun game to watch, I thought. There was some missed field goals, like I said. There was some fumbles and interception or fumbles on both sides. Like I said, a grinded-out game. It kind of felt like Georgia was starting to put some things together a little bit when they went up 10-7. I kind of felt like, okay, they got a touchdown, they got a field goal, and that last drive before the end of the half, it lasted almost 4 minutes, 9 plays, 75, ended in a touchdown. That play at the end, right near the end of that drive when he ran around, and then found that Josh White. I'm talking about Ritter. That was a damn good play, and I thought, oh, shit, dude. Like, okay, they're still in this here. They, I mean, obviously they were leading at that point, but I kind of felt the momentum was starting to go to Georgia. But that was a huge touchdown, just, you know, keeping that play alive to get the touchdown, which Ritter's pretty damn good at. But also to come back out and then get up to 21-10 and then an 11-play drive that ends in a fumble. Now it's 21-10. They got the ball. I thought, man, Daddy's going to start to put down the hammer here. And then it kind of just fell away from him, man. What happened to him when they were up 21-10? And like I said, Georgia had that long, long, you know, and even after, I kind of forgot about this, even after that fumble, the three and out punt, that's no big deal because you're right at the goal line. But then a six-play turnover on down. And it, you know, punt, fumble, punt, punt. The defense was there hanging in as good as they could, but Cincinnati couldn't step up and try to put some distance from Georgia when they had it 21-10.
Yeah, you're from all the adjectives you just used, you described my words of it, and it was a sloppy game. You could tell that these are two good teams, but there was a lot of rust from not playing for a while. Like, there was a ton of stupid penalties throughout the whole game from both teams. Unnecessary personal fouls, sloppy play on offense, sloppy play on defense. It wasn't the best product, I think, that either teams can play. Now, I enjoyed the game like you, but I remember just texting my buddies, and it was just a poorly either played game or poorly coached game. Like, it wasn't, again, you could tell the guys had time off. But aside from that, if Cincinnati had just ran the clock down better, we talked about clock management all year, they probably should have won the game, Chris. Like, okay, you're trying to run up the clock, you're trying to hold on for the win, and you pass the ball on a 3rd and 2 when Georgia has no timeouts. Wasn't smart. On one of the plays to start the drive, your tight end runs out of bounds. Not smart. So, If it was just simple clock management issue or clock management intuitiveness, like, since he wins. And then we get the whole story of, damn, look at Cincinnati, like, what a hell of a win they had. And I'll give them credit. They played neck and neck with Georgia for the whole game. Again, it was sloppy from both ends, but, well, it's just, you know, fair is fair. They both played equal football. But if you just manage to run the clock better down the stretch, that's a W for y'all. Because even though Georgia had about 4 or 5 like deep over the top passes, which were caught just because Georgia's got some stud wide receivers or some guys that are maybe just as fast or quicker than Cincinnati's defense, you know, whatever, you own up, that's fine. That happens. But Cincinnati's defense probably deserved a victory there. And they played pretty damn well. And the offense, we saw a little bit of regression because that is the best defense since they've seen all year. At the start of the year, I was always ripping the quarterback Ritter just because I don't think he's a great quarterback. He's always been a runner, but not a great passer. And this year in his conference, he became a better passer and a better runner. But unfortunately for him, he showed signs of, you know, some weak moments at times just because he played a Georgia defense. Yeah. And no one else in that conference, which we talked about a lot this year because we always gave a lot of hype to Cincinnati and they deserved it defensively. No one in the American Conference, Chris, has a defense anywhere near Georgia. So you saw a little bit of regression, but this is something that's just going to continue to go on from NFL and college as the years go by with how much we continue to value the end of game possessions in either league. You still see coaches who screw up a lot of the time and it blows your mind. So I'd be really upset if I was a Cincy fan. Again, it just running the ball instead of passing for time management or having your guy fall down in bounds. Those are just the basics where you expect your players to know, but it doesn't happen over and over. And that was a frustrating loss if you were a Bearcat fan.
Yeah. And then Daniels, it kind of felt like Georgia was in better hands with Daniels, but speaking of those deep balls, his deep ball is garbage, dude. I mean, he missed Cincinnati's a damn good defense. I'm not taking any credit away, but he had a couple guys deep, dude. I know they did complete some of them, but they missed more, I felt. I mean,
Daniel's deep ball, absolutely. Just,
I mean, he was throwing it every which way except to his guy. And he still put up yards and all that, but grinded out game. It is kind of heartbreaking for Cincinnati. I don't know if I totally agree with you that they hadn't played in a long time. Georgia hadn't played in a week after that, but Cincinnati had played the 19th. So it'd be shorter than it normally would. You know what I mean? So
I guess it was just sloppy.
It was sloppy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was definitely sloppy. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes those games are fun to watch, though, if you don't have a cheering interest in it, you know, because you're like, oh my god, what the hell's going on? And we will talk about a couple other games, like I mentioned, the team we've been tracking a little bit, San Jose State, ended up going down to a better than expected Ball State team, 34-13. Mississippi State ended on a good note over Tulsa, 28-16. Florida got dominated 55-20. No surprise there. If you look at who they had out, like I mentioned, Oklahoma jumped up like 21-0. My Canes came back, but didn't quite get it done. 37-34. The bad news there obviously is, and we talked about Florida where they had all these guys out. People have all these guys out. I keep bringing up Florida cause that was a Cotton Bowl. So it wasn't New Year's Eve, you know, Bowl or New Year's Day Bowl, so that usually does bring back pretty much the whole team. But you can't really blame them. And it's pretty heartbreaking in some sense because here you have King for Miami who already made the announcement that he's coming back for, you know, another year. The whole program's pumped about it. And then, you know, midway through the game, he tears his ACL and now he's going to play by September, sure, but, you know, everything, the whole point of him coming back was to get better for him, you know? And so it's, and obviously, selfishly, the Canes wanted him to come back, too, for better for their team, of course. But there were some things he could have, you know, that he needs to work on and whatnot. He even admitted it. And so, I mean, it just sucks. Like, now these first 4 months of the rehab, it's just not getting on the same page. You're missing spring. Like, just the spring practices and scrimmages, not to say that he would have played a whole ton in the actual, you know, spring game, because they probably would have wanted to skew to their younger guys that day. But all those reps, all those 7-on-7s, and sure, could he be back being able to jog and stand in place and do 7-on-7s in June and July? Yeah, maybe. Maybe he'll be able to do that, I hope. But it just sucks for him in general, and I really hope that he had that insurance out on him. So years from now, matters where he gets drafted or who knows, that he could get something for it. And that just kind of tells you why we need to have an account for these people, these dudes, these kids, a lot of them basically young adults, to have an account, you know, like, so you can have something to come out on. Because he came back partly because he loved the campus so much. He loved the team. He wanted to really have a good year next year, too. He could have got drafted. It's just he wanted to improve his draft. And so it's a heartbreaking situation there. It sucks, man. And that's why we got to do something about this stuff. Kentucky beat NC State 23-21. Ole Miss, we'll talk about that. They beat Indiana 26-20. Iowa State, you know, they played a damn – like, this has to be one of what's-his-toes, Purdy. I mean, he didn't throw the ball all over the field, and, of course, they're going to depend on Hall, which, you know, he got a 136, 2 touchdowns, 34 carries. They ran the ball 56 times, 228, 4.1, and 3 touchdowns. That's nuts. And their longest run was 19 yards. That kind of puts in perspective right there, too. But it just seemed like Purdy, when they needed him to run, he ran. When he needed a first down, he got it. He played one of his better games, considering the numbers don't necessarily bear that out. So that was nice to see Iowa State kind of close strong. Couple other games that we'll mention a little bit. Obviously, that Texas A&M, North Carolina, you know, for quite a while, it was a tit-for-tat game. until the bitter end. But we did have some pretty decent games there, Marshall.
Yeah, it really wasn't too bad of a bowl week, again, with everything put in perspective with COVID and whatnot. It was a pretty good bowl season. I mean, the games you just mentioned for the last handful of days offered some respectable games and some good drama. There was a unfortunate fight at the end of the Mississippi State-Tulsa game, which was just stupid. And you had guys in sweatpants who weren't even playing in games, like kicking people. That was a really childish way to end a game, and it's just an embarrassment for both teams. I know that sometimes crap like that happens, but that was a pretty sad ending. But, yeah, as you mentioned, speaking of betting and weird years with COVID, this was tough, especially if you bet San Jose State and couldn't find a way to live bet against it. Like 20 minutes before kickoff, like San Jose State dropped the ball that they had like a bunch of guys out for COVID. So, I mean, that's tough. If you bet San Jose State, again, they were like a 10-point favorite, thinking they're going to finish the year out on an undefeated run, and then you got like 10 to 15 guys out with COVID, like that's a brutal way to finish the year. And again, I know what happens, but why a team would release that information like at the last second, it seems kind of weird. I know that not every school has to like own up to people who gamble, but it just was a goofy thing to do. So credit to Ball State. You beat Buffalo, you beat San Jose State, but that was just a weird way to finish. And credit to West Virginia for playing Army. Like the Army was dying to play in a bowl game. Their players wanted it. And West Virginia owned up to play them. Again, that was kind of a sloppier game, but West Virginia won. I will say this, though, Chris, to kind of wrap up this bowl talk. Now, if this was a Notre, if this was Miami, if this story happened, your Hurricanes, it would have been a much different perspective.
I didn't even see the highlight, just to put it in perspective. I was going to say the exact same thing.
Well, I'm not talking about football, though. So
okay, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
So I use it. Okay, so let's just say Miami had their bowl game. Who'd y'all play again? I forget.
Oklahoma State. Don't forget it either.
So Miami, Oklahoma State, let's just say a couple days before the bowl game, we hear that there was a cheating math scandal. 20 players in Miami will not play in the bowl game. That shit would have been on ESPN in a second. Hey, it's
the old SportsCenter, dude. Like, remember how many times they tried to ban on Sports Illustrated cover? I know that's not a big deal anymore, but two times they've tried to ban the Hurricanes on the cover.
So, due to, I suppose, the name, there was the Army had 20 players left out of the game due to a cheating math scandal. That's why that line.
I didn't even hear about that.
No, but okay. So, but during the game, and one of Army's like stud middle linebacker didn't get to play because he was involved in it. The announcers are like, well, and Bednarki's out today just due to some, you know, he's not going to play in the game today due to reasons. They never ever, the announcers didn't once ever say, hey, 20 guys on the team aren't playing tonight due to math cheating scandal. So, okay, so since it's Army, we don't say a single damn thing, but if this was my USC boys, oh, dude, USC, 20 players out due to math cheating scandal. But since it was Army, the announcers, all they said was many players tonight are out for Army, never once said the reason. That's some weak shit. Like, dude, again, I know they're the academy, they're good people leading our country.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with military on our side.
No,
I have a military family.
Love the military.
You know, my grandfather was a second wave, a storm in the Normandy, and then he went and got back more in the Korea War. So it has nothing to do with hating on the Army, but that's some bullshit.
No, I'm massively very grateful and proud to live in the country we live in, and I wouldn't have the guts to do it.
Just not the state that you live in.
Yeah,
you're not proud.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, in Texas, we think we're our own army. But aside from the people who go to school there, but you get, I mean, if you're ESPN, you don't got the guts to say, hey, 20 players, the middle linebacker's out today because he cheated on a math test and his other 19 teammates joined him. But, yeah, the announcers never once said, oh, yeah, the guys are out tonight. Really?
NCAA would have came in and said, no, we're not. That game is canceled. Or the broadcasters would have probably went down on one knee if it was the Canes and like, this is our we're protesting this. We're going to do the protest against this, you know.
Cheating, oh my God. Yeah, I know.
I didn't even hear about that. That tells you a lot. I follow college football. I just didn't hear it. What I was going to say, I thought you meant about that fight because they didn't even make a big deal about that fight. Had that been the Canes, that shit would have been front page, you know. It'd have been like, all right, here goes some more thugs and all that.
Yep. So that's ESPN, that's weak. Again, everyone loves the military. Well, I hope you do. But you got to call a spade, dude. You got 20 guys out for cheating on a math test. Say that's the reason they're out, because that's one of the only schools that would get a free pass on that. So I just had to let you know that was just hard to fathom. But
yes.
Yeah, but like I said, overall, the bowl season, it could have been better, obviously. But for the hand we were dealt, we got a decent amount of games. And hopefully next year we will have fans attending bowl games, hopefully, and at a relatively full stadium capacity.
Yeah.
But to get to the last college football game of the year for this college football season, we have ourselves a pretty nice looking national championship. Because I'm a gambler, I love gambling. I believe this is open as the highest over-under ever for a national title game. The over-under for Bama, Ohio State is 75.5. Okay. That's a shitload of points.
Now, could the game go over? Wasn't it the highest semifinals too? I'm pretty sure it was, because they're both 65, dude. That's huge.
Yeah, I think that there's been a Bama Clemson game. One of their battles before was in that number, but it's relative around there. But yeah, so yeah, just a ton of points are expected. Now again, I do think Ohio State, just kind of go from a gambling standpoint, I think Ohio State's gonna fling the ball. I think Bama's gonna fling the ball. I don't see Ohio State having a Brian Kelly approach, to go back to 20 minutes ago. I think this should be a very fun offensive game. I think the point spread tells you that. I also would be a little bit nervous to bet that. I mean,
again, yeah, me too. I'm going under.
You can bet that game and you can see a hell of a football game. But if Bama wins, I don't know, 50 to 20. I mean, there's just so many ways that can go against you.
Yeah, they could win 50 to 20 instead, yeah, like 48 to 20, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's crazy. That is wild when you put it in that perspective.
Yeah. 48 to 23 or something. Like, okay, like bam, you know, but okay. So again, if you want to bet the over, I wish you luck. Could it go over? Easily. I mean, the Clemson Ohio State game, you know, it can happen. But so that's high. But again, I think that's Vegas' way of saying, hey, we have two offenses that are good. The point spread itself, I think, is probably about spot on.
Didn't it open a little higher, though? Didn't it open at 8.5? Did I see 8.5 or 8? Because it's 7.5 now.
Okay, I saw 7.5, but I might have missed the opening line. So it's in that area. I think that's a fair number from what Ohio State did. I also think you have to at least make it 7.5, because if you didn't, people would pound the shit out of Bama. Like, if you're not a huge gambler, anytime, like, obviously 7 is a magic number for football betting, because that's a common score people win by. But if that line had been Bama -7, Bama -6.5, Vegas would have been flooded with Bama bets immediately, and the line would have shot up anyway. So at least Vegas covered their butt there, even if they maybe thought, hey, maybe this game should be 6 or 6.5. Well, if we do that, we're going to get flooded with Bama money, so let's pass that. So I think the spread's good. I think the over-under is insane. So I think those numbers are spot on. And we should actually get to enjoy a really good football game week from now. I guess I'll give my 2 cents, and Chris and I go a bit back and forth. Again, Bama's got the better offense. Like, I know Ohio State put on a hell of a show, but that's the best performance we've seen from them all year. Bama's put up numbers the whole season, like, and they've taken their foot off the gas in probably 60% of their second halves. So, I mean, if we're going to compare numbers, I'm sure they might statistically look the same, Chris, but Saban's not a guy who runs up the score. Or Bama probably could average.
Well, like, he'll run up the score, you know, like literally running the ball. But yes, he'll run his running backs into the ground.
Yeah, so Bama's averaging around, like, I think close to, like, 48 points a game for, like, the second half of their season. And that could probably be, like, closer to 62 if you wanted to fling the ball around. So, just looking at it from a Bama perspective, you have a wide receiver who's probably going to win the Heisman, which is insane. He had himself a nice day against Notre Dame. A running back who's one of the best in the country. And a quarterback who, I'm not going to say is the greatest thing ever, but he's good.
He has
a lot of pieces to he got a lot of nice toys. He's got a lot of nice toys in his toy chest. So again,
8 years ago he would have been a game manager though under Alabama. How times have changed.
Good old Lane Kiffin. And shout out to Ole Miss for winning their bowl game. We forgot that one. So
we didn't forget.
I think so from Bama perspective, again, I know Ohio State's defense played great against Clemson and they did. You're not gonna own the offensive line like you did Clemson. Like, hell, if you're going to – Bama's offensive line is too good. So I think from a Bama perspective on offense, I still think you're going to drop around 40. Again, if Ohio State wants to play a slower game like Notre Dame did, maybe you're in the 30s. But I think Bama's going to score in the 40s. And if it gets into a track meet, again, good luck. Like, you saw Florida try it, and they put up a pretty good fight against it, but they still came up short. So – from a Bama perspective offensively, you can run the ball when you want. You can pass the ball when you want. You almost never see Mac Jones get sacked. He maybe will get sacked a couple games by a couple times in the game. But sure. From an offensive Bama perspective, I would expect you to score around 40, which tells you as an Ohio State fan, Chris, you're going to have to probably score 48 to 50 to win the game realistically. I know it sounds crazy, but if it comes to track me like these a lot of times these national titles do with Clemson, Ohio State, or Bama, I don't see Bama again under 35 points if it's a run up and down the field kind of game.
All right, so you gonna finish your pick then or what?
I will take I will say Bama 48.
Ooh!
I'm handing
over 48 points to him.
I'm saying Bama 48 and Ohio State 37.
So you're going over?
Yes.
Ooh. Okay. You're betting over or are you just going over for your score?
I'm picking over the score. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to bet it, but I'm picking the over. I don't know if I'm going to – I got the balls to bet over. I
wanted to clarify that. I'm going – well, here's the thing. I think Bama's going to win. But I'm staying within that spread. I'm going 38 to 20. Alabama wins. I mean, we were just – you're right about the offense. We were just, like, talking about how crazy it is that LSU had this nuts best all-time. We can go back to a variety of offenses, right? I remember when Sam Bradford at Oklahoma came into that, you know, that title game as the best thing ever. And then they played the Florida defense, and then they weren't the best thing ever. They put up 14 points. But – this isn't, you know, then or now or whatever, but they are damn good. That's my whole point the next year. I'm not saying they got LSU's offense, but God dang, it's pretty close. Obviously, Burrow seems like he's better because he can move around more, but we'll see. Sure. We'll give the dude a chance in the pros, too. But I'm keeping it 38 to 30, 38 to 31, somewhere in there, right on the spread, so therefore under the overall spread. Or the over-under, excuse me. But the key thing is, they do for a Bama defense, they do give up a little bit more yards through the air than they normally would. I probably shouldn't say a little. It's 243. Now, when you have leads, people are going to throw on you more, and they have. I mean, Florida is about as good as it gets when it comes to that. So they did play them. They played Ole Miss. They played some teams that had Notre Dame or not Notre Dame, but Ohio State or any. Team played these teams consecutive throughout the year, they probably would have similar stats. And when you look at it, they do give up passing yards. They're a little bit better on the run, defending it. I'm speaking of Ohio State. I don't know how 107 to 96. 107 is a high number. I'd say this defensively, giving up 243 through the air and 107 on the ground, that is kind of high for a Bama D. But, you know, they played a lot of freaking explosive offense. So now the key thing is, that I mean, for them to average 349 in the air, I mean, this is not – it hasn't been for a while, but this is not your great-great-granddaddy, actually, let's not go back that far, granddaddy's in your dad's Alabama squad. And we're not even talking about 2010, 11, 12. I mean, this team could chuck the ball, 349 through the air. However, and this is kind of wicked, 272 and 272, that's what they combined, the Buckeyes. 272 through the air and 272 on the ground. And let's not forget Trey Sermon. Wasn't Sermon at Oklahoma a couple years back? Or am I tripping on that? But Sermon, the last two games, 524, the most in Ohio State history. And Ezekiel, down there in Cowboy Country, you know, he ran for some yards those last couple of games, that whole season, but especially those last couple of games, no one could stop him. I'm not trying to put that kind of pressure on Sermon.
Feed him.
Yeah, right? But you got to feed him. I mean, this is a team that can establish a run to an extent. I'm not thinking they're going to go 220 on Bama, but they need to. They need to try to get close and then wing it out. Like you said, they have been beat down the field a fair amount. Look at these plus 20, though. 6-9, 222, and three touchdowns, plus 20 attempts last week. And even the week before, too, he put up some air numbers. But overall, 16-17, under 19. Wow, and three touchdowns. That's crazy. And I think we'll see the feet a little bit more as well, not just bombing it out, because I don't think they'll have as much time. Even if that offensive line's playing pretty damn good, they're going to fire up some blitzes. Saban and company know what they're doing, right? So I think it's going to be a good game. I wouldn't be shocked if Ohio State won. I'll say that. But I don't know. I mean, Fields, like you said, he didn't look 100% after that hit either. So he's got a wrist. He's got a rib. He's got a bat. I don't know. They were saying, they were already talking like, oh, he's going to play. It's like, well, that tells you where he's at. It's probably not that good. Now, it's good for him that he gets a couple extra days. What was that, Friday they played? So, I mean, you don't have to play it on Monday. So that does help. But I think it's going to be a closer-than-expected game. I shouldn't say closer-than-expected. I guess I'm thinking of national media and whatnot, because I'm right around what the spread is going to be. So 38-30, but a damn good game. And, you know, I guess it's – you got to put some respect on Ohio State's name, but then not forget to respect Bama.
Yeah, pretty much the case. I mean, you know, we did a podcast a couple weeks ago about just the playoff committee and how, you know, for better or worse, how it is and how it all sets up. And one of the points I made, and I'm not breaking history here or breaking news, but it's just the fact that Bama's been so good for the last 10 years. It's like they're just a guaranteed shoe-in. And, you know, every time you see a Final Four, it's like you'd be crazy to pick against Alabama. Like, Ohio State could easily win. Like, again, this game is not like a cakewalk at all. Like, you saw what Ohio State did to Clemson. Like, this is not a fraudulent team. But, again, have we seen Bama's offense have to, like, trail and get down this year? No. Like, this is a Bama offense who...
Yeah, just that Georgia game really quick, and then that they threw deep, and that was that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Bama's offense looked like trash in that first half against Georgia, and yet they still scored some points, but it was a rough looking game. But then Saban made defensive corrections with the secondary. The offense got going with a couple. They had a 95 yard run or 95 yard pass. I think it was a 95 yard pass.
Yeah, it was, because the dude fell down or whatever.
Yeah, and it was just done. So again, it's. Okay, let's just say I'm stumbling there for a second, but I was trying to put my words together. Let's say Bama gets down 7. Like, do you really think that offense is gonna, like, you know, oh shucks, what? Well, we're screwed now. Like, we better get scared and worried. No, dude, they're gonna come right back and
shit. Even LSU had troubles at the beginning of the game last year. Remember?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And then they didn't put the foot down. Then they didn't, Chris. Yes. And then that was LSU, and that thing's a wrap. So. Let's say Ohio State's up 14 in the third quarter. Well, that's good. You're winning, but now you're going to force an offense who's been in cruise control the whole year to press it. Okay. All right. We got you. We're good. All right. Let's see what we got. So, I'm with you. It should be a fun, entertaining game. I know that as a college football country, like, we would, it would be nice to see different teams. I know that unless you're a diehard Bama fan, you probably wouldn't mind seeing a different team. But I will say almost all of these national title games with Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, they're normally really good games, Chris. Like, I know that, again, you get bored seeing the same blue blood jerseys, but there normally hasn't been too many awful national championship games in the past 10 years overall. I mean, can you agree with me on that? At least we're getting good viewing material, despite maybe the same viewing names.
Yeah, I can 100% agree with it because, I mean, I don't know. Well, we're sick of seeing the same place. I get it, but you're clearly just now a team. I mean, you're clearly now just watching college football because that's how it's been. And this is what I got to say to those people that do say, I got a nice little soft, sad violin for you.
So,
take us out with it.
Chris and I will be back to wrap up this game. Pretty much the only time I've ever not wanted to do a post-game wrap-up show was the fucking Carolina Nova buzzer beater. And I passed out and I woke up and I think I joined that phone call for about 10 minutes and I hung up.
This fits but, the music so good. Keep going.
Fucking. It was opening day baseball about 4 or 5 years ago. I had about 15 drinks that day. I saw Carolina lose national title on a half-court buzzer beater. And I painfully did the show, but these are not my Tar Heels. I'll be back next week with Chris, and then we will get into talking college basketball, where we, like Chris said, we go from college football to college basketball. We're having a March Madness this year, knock on wood, and it'll be a lot of fun. So until then, keep wearing a mask, keep staying safe, enjoy time with your loved ones. I hope 2021's off to a good start for everybody because we all need a new fresh year. Yes, the boys are out tonight. Have a good one. Peace.